One of the first assemblies of the year was for senior orientation. At this time, our principal, Mr. Ray Hardman, spoke to the senior class about the philosophies and attitudes which he felt should be applied in the year ahead.
I pledge allegiance to your flag, to the land of Abraham, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, I would like to point out to you that as principal of the high school and representing the rest of the administration and the faculty, that we do look to you as seniors, as leaders of the school in your senior year. Now, you as a class have proven over the last 2 years that you do have the attitudes and attributes which point for good leadership. I think that every staff member who have had you people in classes have mentioned that they've enjoyed the association with you. They've appreciated the work that you've done in class. They've appreciated the kind of attitudes which you have. Because I feel very strongly that we're here as an administration and faculty to help you develop as individuals. And as you develop as individuals, to help you develop into worthy, worthwhile citizens of the community in which you live, or where you may live after you get into your chosen profession or work. So the purposes for which Corvallis High School was established and which it is maintained is to help each one of us develop our own potential abilities and aptitudes to the utmost. And I think that I can recommend to you that the entire staff of Corvallis High School has this in mind. I hope that you remember that last year I said that there is a price that each one of us has to pay for a worthy life, one which is of service, one of which is a worthwhile accomplishment. And some of these prices are, and I'll list them for you, first, self-discipline. I would like to emphasize with you that you are the only one who can do the job. No matter how much your mother and your father want you to get a high school diploma, they can't get it for you. And no matter how much they want you to do certain things, they can't do them for you. Neither can I. Neither can the staff. Neither can your best friend. You are the only one who can accomplish these goals. And if you learn nothing else except that one truth in Corvallis High School, then you have set yourself up for a successful and happy adulthood.
For members of the senior class, this assembly signaled the start of their final year in 12 years of preparatory education. Mr. Hardman's words were received with varying degrees of worry and indifference, but mostly with elation. The class of about 470 different and definitely changing individuals was standing on a road that led up a hill and into an unknown future. A tragedy was one of the first events along this road to tomorrow. A large portion of the CHS student body assembled in October in memory of a fellow student, Lynn Duell, who would not be there to share that tomorrow with them. Student Body President John Pittman delivered a eulogy.
Met here to honor the memory of a fellow student and friend, a person to whom many of us came to admire and respect. For those of you that did not know him, as well as those of you that did, his death came as a shock to all of us. Lynn Duell was a member of the sophomore class. As a young man, he was constantly interested in athletics. Although Lynn, his family, his doctor, and coaches all knew of his physical handicap. But Lynn's love for his athletics and his desire to live a normal life overruled this obstruction. With the consent of Lynn's parents and his willingness to play football, Lynn became a member of this year's junior varsity football team. On Monday afternoon, October 5th, 1964, at 4:30 p.m., Lynn died of an asthmatic attack. Here was a young man with such a handicap that he was still willing to serve his team members, his school, and life in general. He was indeed a credit to his friends, his family, his school, his community, and to all who knew him. And may the trust in life that this boy had live as an example for all of us.
Thanksgiving was a halfway point between September and the end of the first semester. In a moving assembly, the students gathered to show their gratitude for the goodness and the challenges in their lives, and for the land and the circumstances of their birth.
Another reminder of the future for seniors were the college orientation assemblies, which provided an opportunity for seniors to meet and talk with representatives of several of Oregon's colleges and universities, and even consider some large eastern universities. Christmas and Christmas vacation were here an incredibly short time, it seemed, and from the bustle and activity of school life, students, faculty, and parents paused to honor and celebrate this religious holiday. Here is a selection from the Girls' Glee Christmas presentation. Mm-hmm.
After 3 days of semester finals, the old semester ended and a new year and a new semester began. One of the first events in this new semester was the return of Denny Fryback, our American Field Service exchange student who had been staying near Cape Town, South Africa, for the past year. Denny gave a remarkable and interesting assembly, during which he showed slides of the country and of the family with whom he had been staying. In this excerpt, Denny was discussing his school life in Rondebosch.
I found out later that if he catches you doing any serious crimes or anything around school, like running in the halls or things, he'll say, "Go to see Mr. Clark, who was the principal and my father," which didn't bother me at first. The people would come back properly chastised and sit down rather easily in their chairs at school. And then at after-school sports in the dressing rooms, you would see why. "Oh, I see you're a sergeant. 3 stripes. And don't laugh, some of them were 5-star generals." But I've often wondered how this was done, so I asked Dad one day, and he said, "Do you want to really find out?" I said, "Not that badly." And so he explained to me at a distance. He said, just look into my office in the corner." And I looked in the corner, and there was a little jar of linseed oil about so tall. And in this were about 16 or so little bamboo canes.
The next evening was the band concert.
Not too long after the band concert, the orchestra, under the direction of Lynn Lawrence, gave a concerto recital featuring various students, among them Ann Jackson, Tony Hess, Lynn Darrow, Benny Brooks, Ernst Dornfeld, and Kristen Hoyt.
The entire student body was present to hear the cast and crew of our exchange assembly in its premiere performance. The assembly was later presented at Albany Union High. The first number on the program was Summertime, featuring a girls' quintet, Sally and Sue Norton, Carol Erickson, Joan Free, and Gloria Bufink.
Summertime, 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 and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
Time era. You know, that was about the time the women were getting the vote. You know, you'd be surprised. They use about the same arguments then that they did, that they do now in the civil rights movement. Like one of them might say, now, Charlie, don't get me wrong. I'm not against women. Some of my best friends are women. And let me ask you this, Charlie. Would you want one of your daughters to marry one? The ragtime era today is represented by George Mosier.
Gee, but it's tough when the gang's all gone home. You stand there on the corner all alone. You may have dough, but you got no place to go. You're craving women, wine, and song. And the gang left you flat with their old time stall. Hurry home to gaze at those four. Their walls, every thought seems to scorch when you're carrying the torch. And the gang's all gone home.
Later American folk music, modern folk music as a matter of fact, sung by the composers this time, Rick Wallace, Janet McFarlane, and Bill Furtick.
I've got to go on my way, got to go on my way. I've got to see this big world before my dying day. Where I'm going and where I've been, a wanderer leads his life for them, and I'll go again. I've traveled here, and from here I'm going everywhere. I'm like the wind, and my soul, it carries no despair. Where I'm gone and where I've been, a wanderer leads his life for them, and I'll go again. When I have seen this big world that lies under these blue skies, I'll go again, for a wandering spirit never dies. Where I'm going and where I've been, a wanderer leads his life for them.
The very capable MC for this presentation was Roger Aiken.
April brought the annual Calico Cord Days, the crazy dress-up day for CHS. This year's theme was Mardi Gras, and many of us found it difficult to recognize our classmates, disguised as, say, a logging truck, a famous trumpet player, a well-known international intrigue agent, a chimney sweep, or Mickey Mouse.
The third week in April brought the annual nomination of student body, class, and league candidates and the big campaign assembly. For several days, the halls were decorated with clever signs and slogans, and the suspense of election time could be felt all around the school. Perhaps the most relieved of all at the conclusion of that frantic week were this year's officers, who would soon be spending their third periods in a well-deserved vacation.
As the school year neared its final phases, each week saw some particular last-time activity. The annual events began to take on a sentimental, mystic quality as 470 seniors realized that these experiences would be left behind forever.
The time past and the time to come seemed as elusive as the princess of this beautiful folk song performed in the spring concert of the a cappella choir under the direction of Joseph Lobato.
Thank you.
Corvallis High, we are proud of your students and your teachers. We are proud of this year and of our successes and of our achievements. We are proud and happy that we could be a part of such an exciting and rewarding year, a year that we will all remember.